So that's the only time we have fun? No, that's part of the fun. We have fun seeing Jesus beating up the devil and healing people. But there's no greater fun than studying the Word of God. Well, lately I've been trying to teach you how to become pals with God. Amen? Amen. Does anybody remember what was the first step? Constant communication, huh? What was the second step? Huh? Meditation. Well, somebody's remembered something. So the work was not completely wasted. We will continue today studying about becoming pals with God. And I'm going to start by taking you to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32 on the New Living Translation. Today, on purpose, I'm going to speak only about one topic because this is something very important that people usually mistake. I couldn't for the life of me understand why God wanted me to talk about this. Because I'm a little bit guilty of this thing that I'm going to talk about today. Sometimes we set the bar so high as an excuse not to draw closer to God. Nevertheless, God revealed to me this past week, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. New Living Translation. The Lord revealed to me this week that sometimes my excuses can prevent me from getting a little bit higher, a little bit closer to God. And I was instructed to share with you today that among the greatest desire that God has for humankind is to have a close relationship with you and I. He wants to be pals with us. He wants to be our friend. And he proved that from the get-go. On the Garden of Eden, God would show up every day and spend some time with Adam and Eve. To make it easy for you to understand, they played cards and chess and dominoes. Together, every evening, if that's your conception of a good time. But God showed up from the get-go. Every evening he showed up and spoke to Abraham, to Adam and Eve. There was no appointment necessary. There was no special service to attend. There was no retreat. There was no conference. God was there all time. Because from the get-go, the reason that you and I were created is because God wants to have fellowship. God wants to be friends with you and I. He created billions of angels. He could become pals with the angels. The only problem is angels don't have the choice that you and I have to choose to follow God. And what makes our relationship so savory or full of flavor is the fact that we have the ability to choose to be God's friend or not. Therefore, the scripture says, such wicked people are detestable to the Lord. But the Lord offers his friendship to the godly. God offers, is an offer from God, his friendship to the Facebook people. No, to the godly people. Here you go again. Why you have to go to Facebook? Because some of us, we spend every day 2 hours on Facebook and 0 minute with. Some of us really spend 2 hours watching that piece of garbage. Letting some demon-possessed gay lesbian telling us their vision of life, and yet we spend zero with God. Now, God is offering his friendship to godly people. So what is godly people? Are people that are God-minded. Are people that think like God, act like God. Are people that are in pursuit of God. So you mean to say that I have to stop doing all that I do to be praying all day? No, don't be lousy. Nobody's asking you to stop doing what you're doing to be praying day and night. On the opposite, we want you to be God doing whatever you do so people can see God in you. God is offering his friendship to godly people. And you want to know how messed up it gets? Let's go now to James 4, 8. Same translation. James chapter 4, verse 8. Watch this. Come close to God. See? This is the difference between you and angel. You've got to make that choice. Just like you make the choice to be on your TV, or on your computer, or even your cell phone, or on your tablet. Come close to God, and guess what? God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and Facebook. I mean, God and the world. But maybe between God and TV. Or maybe between God and your tablet. God is offering his friendship for people that are God-minded. You want to really have God as your pal? Yes. Draw close to God. Are you with me here? Well, having said that, then let me tell you this. You are as close to God as you choose to be. Say amen. Amen. What are you talking about? Like any friendship, you must work in developing your friendship with God.
What?
Yeah. Like any other friendship, you must work at your friendship with God. How? By getting close to God. I'm sorry to tell you, it won't happen by accident. There is no formula that you can start whispering and then, da-da! I'm a closer friend with God. It takes work. We've got to be willing to be a friend of God. You remember that chick that you met when you want to marry her? How after work you couldn't help but you run to her house? Or you remember that guy that you, oh, he's so gorgeous, he's so cute. And you couldn't stop thinking about him? Mom didn't tell you to think about him, did she? You chose. And that's the person that you married. Isn't that right? It was a choice that you made. Why did you make that choice? Because you're planning to spend your life with that person. Why can't we do the same thing with God? We can choose Facebook. We can choose MySpace. We can choose the other God and let somebody tell us a vision about what life is all about. We can choose friends. We can choose drinking. We can choose any other garbage in the planet. But usually God makes the last on the list. So like in every other friendship, it takes work. It takes work. It just don't happen like that. Cha-cha! Oh, I'm a close friend with God. Mm-mm. It takes desire. It takes time and it takes energy. You've got to be willing to be a friend of God. What do you mean it takes energy to do that? Because you're going to have literally to first you sometimes to sit down, get your little butt on that chair, pick up that Bible and start reading it. Well, what is the use? If I don't feel like reading, who cares about your feelings? Not God. Bible says righteous people lives by faith, not by feeling. And you know, according to the book of Romans chapter 8, that your flesh is enmity against God. it will never agree with the things of God. So we've got to fight, got to put some energy on this thing if you want to be close friends with God. It takes time. How many of you have known anybody that are best friend without spending time with each other? That's ridiculous. Throughout my little life on planet Earth, one of the things I have seen that people that spend more time together become more attached to each other. Say amen. Amen. The same thing happens on the spiritual realm. Did you know that I know more about God today than I knew 10 years ago? You study more? Actually not. I still study a lot, but I spend more time with God. I chose to do that. I'm driving, worship is cranked on my car. If it's not cranked, then I'm shooting up short prayers. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. If you get an idiot caught in front of you, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and I declare the salvation of that person in Jesus' name. And the more you practice, the more effort you put into it, the closer you get to God. And you know that some of the best night of sleep that I have ever had are the nights when I spent at least 1 hour before sleeping reading the Word of God. We are in the time of the era of technology. Bible.ie is on my phone. Sometimes you have one of those anointed days, you know. You wish you wouldn't be living on planet Earth. So as you're going to bed, Bible.ie. Let's start in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And it goes through. By the time that morning comes, I'm on Revelation. I am loud enough to hear, but not too loud to keep me awake. Does it make sense to you?
Yes.
So I'm sleeping, I'm here on the background. And sometimes it's like my mind jump on that time that is being now narrated. And because I have read the word yet, it's on the back here. So as I hear, it seems like the whole thing become a melting pot. And it's like you were in the days of the New Testament. The more I read about my God, the more I learn about my God, the more I love Him.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that being pals with God is not something out of this world. It doesn't happen by accident. So, what is the first step, preacher? It's not the first, it's the third step. Into developing a pal relationship with God. Here we go. Be honest with God. Excuse me? You're excused. What's the third point? Be honest with God. What do you mean, be honest? If you want a deeper, more intimate connection with God, you must learn to honestly share your feelings with Him. Trust Him when He asks you to do something, and learn to care about what He cares. Desire His friendship more than Facebook. Or whatever it is that takes your time. Did y'all hear what I said? So what's the third step in establishing a pal relationship with Him? Be honest with God. And I'd say that this is one of the major building blocks of a deeper relationship with God. What is it? Complete honesty. Honesty about what? Honesty about your faults. Honesty about your feelings. Now you got me lost. No, I did not. I'm coming. Just give me a little time here. Let's start by getting something out of the way. And I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. I stop writing. I want you to hear this. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. Say amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, God doesn't expect you to be perfect. But he insists that you be completely honest with him. I'll say it again. God is not expecting you to be perfect. He wants you to be completely honest with him. And you know what? None of God's friends on the Bible were perfect. Say amen. If perfection was a requirement for friendship with God, we would never be able to be his friends. Say amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Because of God's grace, in Matthew 11:19, the Bible says that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Do you fall in that category? Watch this. Matthew 11:19. And Brother David, that should answer you some questions. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say, is a glutton and a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by its results. I don't understand. Give them the New King James. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber. Bieber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Yes, he is a friend of tax collectors. He is a friend of sinners. Thank God for that. You don't have to be perfect to be a friend of God. You have to be honest. Boy, this is a messed up message. I know. In the Bible, the friends of God were honest about their feelings. Say amen.
Amen.
What do you mean by that? Often they complained. Many times they second-guessed. Sometimes they accused God. And many other times they argued with their Creator. Say amen. God, however, didn't seem to be bothered by this frank approach. Actually, he encouraged that approach. Preacher, now you're getting out of hand here. No, I ain't. I'm not getting out of hand. How in the world are you telling me that God stimulated people to complain, to second guess, to accuse him and to argue with him? Did you say he encouraged? Yes, I did say that. Prove it. I will. God allowed Abraham to question and challenge him over the destruction of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Say amen.
Amen.
And he didn't do one time. Said, well, if you have 50 people, you're going to destroy it? Nope. Okay, let me talk once again. If you have 40, nope. All right. If you have 20, nope. I will not destroy it. My Lord, let me talk one more time and let not your anger be against me. Why? You're talking to God, dude. If you find 10 people, you're going to destroy the whole city? Nope, I will not. Abe said, you know what, whatever. Do what you have to do. God allowed this man, a mortal man, to argue with him 4 times over a stinking city. And yet, the anger of God was not kindled against this man. Now, I'll give you another one. Let's put it over there. Brother, give me Job 42:7 on the Message Bible. Watch this. This is Abraham. I'll tell you that God patiently listened to David's many accusations of unfairness, betrayal, abandonment. God did not kill Jeremiah when he claimed that God tricked him. Job was allowed to vent his bitterness during his ordeal. And in the end, God defended Job for being honest and rebuked his friends. Isn't that something? Watch this. After God had finished addressing Job, he turned to Eliphaz, the Temanite, and said, I've had it with you and your 2 friends. I'm fed up. You haven't been either. Wow. You know what? Why don't you all read it with me? I'm talking about you that one of the ways to establish a power relationship with God is being honest. After God had finished addressing Job for his nonsense, he turned to Eliphaz the Temanite and said, I've had it with you and your 2 friends. That's God talking here, huh? I'm fed up. You haven't been honest either with me or about me, not the way my friend Job has. Job complained about God. You see, all is going for me with me here right now. You took everything that I have, unless this useless woman, and everything else is gone. What is my right? And he's letting God have it. And God is listening. And then on chapter 37, God said, okay, come on here, boy. Where were you when I was setting the foundation of the world? Where were you when they set the limits for the sea? Where were you when they made all these stars and gave name to each one of them? And then God went on and on and on for 3 chapters, 164 verses. And Job said, I'm sorry. I spoke of things I knew not. You know what? Put off there verse 1, same chapter. Sometimes God will allow things to happen so he can teach us, because God wants to be friendly with us. But we got to spit out what is in our chest. Job answered God. Now, wait a minute. It says Job answered God, right? So if he's answered God, it means that God asked him a question. Is that right?
Yes.
So we're talking about communication here, isn't that right?
Yes.
So can God talk to mankind?
Yes.
I guess so. Verse 2. I'm convinced. You can do few things.
Anything.
And?
Everything.
Nothing. And no one? Somebody said,
nobody can upset God's plan.
Verse 3. Watch this. You asked, who is this muddying the water? Ignorantly confusing the issue. Ouch. Second guessing my purpose. What does it say? It says in here that people in the past used to second guess what God was doing. Say amen. I admit it. What is this? Honesty. Honesty. I admit it. I was the one. I babbled on about things far beyond me. Made small talk about wonders way over my head. And you mean to tell him that God didn't get mad at him? No! Because one of the qualities to be God's friend is not being perfect. It's being honest. Listen to verse 4. You told me, listen, and let me do the talking. All right? Let me ask you the questions. You give the answers. Communication. Isn't that right? Verse 5. I admit, I once lived by now. Can God become a friend of people?
Yes.
Verse 6. Watch this. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll never do that again. I promise. I'll never again live on crust of heresy, crumbs of rumor. Be honest with God. Are you with me here?
Yes.
After all this thing went through, verse 7, then you have the verse, what I just showed you on verse 7, that the Lord said, after God had finished addressing Job and his nonsense, he turned to Eliphaz the Temanite and said, I've had it with you and your friends. I'm fed up. You haven't been honest either with me or about me. Not the way my friend Job was. That tells me that God expects you and I to be completely honest with him. Honest about your feelings. Honest about your daily life. What? Yes. God is expecting you to be honest about everything going on in your life right now. And if you desire the friendship of God, you better get on with the program. There is a startling example of frank friendship. God honestly expressed his total disgust with Israel's disobedience. And he told Moses that he would keep up his promise to give the Israelites the promised land. But he wasn't going one step further with the people of Israel in the desert. God was fed up, and he let Moses know exactly how he felt. Moses, speaking as a friend of God, responded in the same tone and in the same manner. What? Yes, he did. Brother, can you put up there for me? Exodus 32:17. Let's start on verse 12. 32:12. We're going to go to verse 17. Leave the Message Bible there. What are you talking about? Watch. I want to show you something here right now. Exodus 32:12. God expressed how fed up he was with the Israeli people. Okay, I'm going to give you the promised land, but I'm not going to go with this crowd anymore. I'm just fed up with them. Bunch of idiots. After seeing all this miracle, you're complaining? And you're telling me you want to go back to Egypt? Because things doesn't go your way? Where do you think you are? God let Moses have it. Listen to Moses. Why let the Egyptians say, Lord, he had it for them. He brought them out so he couldn't kill them in the mountains, wipe them right off the face of the earth. Stop your anger. Think twice about bringing evil against your people. Now, this is Moses talking to God. Stop your anger. You got to be friends with God, you know. You got to have a knit friendship with God. God, please, think twice about bringing evil against these punks. We know they're punks. But think twice about this. Listen to verse 13. Think of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you gave your word, telling them, I'll give you many children, as many as the stars in the sky, and I'll give this land to your children as their land forever. 14. And God did think twice. Oh my God. Is God a friend of people or what? Amen. Can God be a friend of a man or what? He decided not to do the evil he had threatened against his people. Now listen to verse 14, 15. Moses turned around and came down from the mountain carrying the two tablets of the testimony. The tablets were written on both sides, front and back. 16. God made the tablets, and God wrote the tablets, engraved them. When Joshua heard the sound of the people shouting noisily, he said to Moses, that's the sound of war in the camp. But guess what? It wasn't. It was the people that had been just delivered from Egypt, turning their back on God and worshiping a cow. Isn't that something?
Yes.
And yet God allowed Moses to talk. Like a friend, face to face. What does it tell me? What does it tell you and I? You don't have to be perfect to be a friend of God. You have to be honest. Well, preacher, now this is pretty messed up. I know. Can God handle that kind of frank, intense, honesty from any one of us? Absolutely. Why would you say that? True friendship is built on disclosure. The girls that you call and tell them all you stinking past are the ones that you call best friend. Isn't that right? Can I hear an amen here? The ones who knows all the things, so shady things, those are your best friends. The ones also that you spend more time talking, thinking, drinking, praying, you can call them close friends. Is that right? Friendship is built on disclosure. What may appear as audacity, God views it as authenticity. Authenticity. Did you hear what I said? What may at the eyes of mankind appears as audacity, God views as authenticity. Praise the Lord. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that God listens to the passionate words of his friends. But I'll tell you something now that I want you to stop right and listen to this. I believe from the bottom of my heart that God will be bored with predictable words. God will be bored with predictable pious cliches. What do you mean by that? Oh, our holy Lord, creator of the heaven and the earth, thou that hast been our God from the days of old. Da, 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 da. It's a cliche. Be honest with God. God can handle it. God can take it. But be honest. I think that God is bored when he already knows what your prayer is going to be all about. You know that pious cliche? Something that you can already predict. Some people, when they're going to start praying, I already know how they're going to start their prayer.
I was just thinking, don't patronize him.
You can put it that way. That's the kind of stuff that friends don't do. God is not expecting you to be over pious. our Heavenly Father. I haven't heard none of you here start praying, Dad, thanks for this day. I haven't heard none of you start praying like this. Why would I do that? Because it's not a pious cliche. But He is my Heavenly Father. Nobody's doubting that. But it's already predictable. Isn't that right? I haven't heard none of you start, the Holy Spirit, thank you very much for carrying us this far. None of you here, I haven't heard. You may have done at your house. What's wrong to say, our Father, thank you for this day? Nothing is wrong, but it becomes a cliche, a pious cliche. True friendship is built on disclosure. Be honest. Feel free to talk to your God. He's not a monster. And He's not going to send fire from heaven to destroy you if you call Him dead. And He's not going to send you to hell if you say, Holy Spirit, thanks for bringing us this far. I have to get back on this one. I think Brother Donald once prayed, started praying with the Holy Spirit. So what you're saying, preacher? To be God's friend, you must be honest with God. Share your true feeling with God. Not what you think you ought to feel or say. Did you get that? Mostly like, we will need to confess some hidden anger and resentment at God for certain areas of our lives where we have felt cheated or disappointed by God. And I'll tell you this. It will not be until you and I are mature enough to understand that God uses everything for good in our lives. Until that happens, there are a great possibility for you and I to harbor resentment towards God in our lives. Resentment about what? About our appearance, our background, unanswered prayers, past hurts, and other things we would change if we were God. What? Are you nuts? No, I'm not. I know a half a dozen people that wish they were black. What? I know 2 dozen people wish they were white and had blue eyes and blonde hair. Are you nuts? And it is not until you come to that maturity to understand that God uses everything for the good of those who love Him, chances are you're going to resent God over some things. What? Yep. A lot of people are upset with God because they have unanswered prayers. Oh, I pray. It seems like God don't hear me. And then they start holding that thing against God. Why? They haven't become true friends of God yet. Some people don't like the way that they look. Some people don't like their background. Some people don't like their hair. We had a messed up bunch many times. So how do I know that I resent God or not? Just think about if there's something in your life right now, or on the past, that you thought if you were God, you would have changed it, then you resent God. It's time now to repent. I don't understand. Well, let me make it simple for you. Oh, I wish I was rich. Time to ask for forgiveness. On the day that you're able to handle riches, God will give it to you. I don't agree. That's your business. That's the way it goes. Well, why you want to be rich so bad? Well, because what? And here's the answer. I think life will be better. Riches don't bring you happiness. Happiness comes from knowing God. and serving him and follow him. You know why? Never heard about anybody that crossed over the pearly gates with all their dollars into heaven. And if they did, that currency is worthless in heaven. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Some people say, I wish I had a blue eye. You may look like a peacock with lenses. Folks, it's not until we come to that maturity to understand that God uses everything for our good. We might have some resentment in our hearts. So in order to develop that honesty with God, that friendship with God, be honest about it. And if it comes to heart, yes, I have something against God. Ask God for forgiveness. People often blame God for hurt caused by other people. What? Why couldn't God touch my husband's heart and he wouldn't be abusing me that much? What you just did, you blame God for the abuse that your husband caused to you. Or vice versa. Why couldn't God touch my wife's heart and she wouldn't abuse me that much? You're blaming God for the abuse of somebody. And that will be one link to separate you a little bit further from God. So what you're saying? What I'm saying is that bitterness is one of the greatest barriers to establish friendship. How many people do you know that is very bitter against somebody else and they are best pals? It doesn't happen. Bitterness is one of the greatest barriers in friendship. I don't like Janet. She stole my boyfriend. I don't like Janet. That way that she behaves, she always thinks she's the best. Can you be pals? Absolutely not. Bitterness is one of the greatest barriers to friendship with God. Here's a cliche. Listen to this. Why would I want to be God's friend if he allowed all this to happen in my life? Have you ever heard that? What you saying, preacher? Sometimes you got to do some confessing. Now somebody may be asking, what is the answer for these things? If I feel like this, what is the antidote? The antidote is to realize that God always acts on your best interest. Even when it's painful or you don't understand it. Say amen.
Amen.
A way to fight bitterness against God is to understand that God will always, 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 always act on your best interest. Even when it is painful and you don't understand. Therefore, I believe that by releasing your resentment and revealing your feelings is the first step to healing. Prove it. I will right now, and I'm going to wrap up. Many people in the Bible tell God exactly like how they fell. Really? Yes. Brother, could you put up there Job 7:17? Watch this. So what you're saying, preacher? I'm saying that I believe from the bottom of my heart that releasing your resentment against God and revealing your feelings, your true feelings, will be the first step towards your healing and establishing a deeper friendship with God. Watch this. What are mortals, anyway, that you bother with them? That you even give them a time of day? This is Job talking. You see how happy he was with God? 18. That you check up on them every morning. looking in on them to see how they're doing. Talk about bitterness. Verse 19. Let up on me, will you? Can't you even let me spit in peace? Verse 20. Even suppose I'd sinned. What about that, huh? Even suppose I've sinned, huh? How would that hurt you? You're responsible for every human being. Don't you have better things to do than pick on me? Why make a federal case out of me? Listen to verse 21. Why don't you just forgive my sins? What just happened here? The guy just expressed his feelings. Spit it out. He resented God. Why are you picking on me? Then he catches himself and says, you know what? I'm sorry. Forgive me. This is why on Job 42:7, God said, you know what? After I finish the all, no. Temanite, I'm fed up with you and your friends. Because you have not been honest with me and about me, like my friend Job is. So what you're saying? Spit out whatever is inside there. Why you resent God? Lord, you know, why haven't I got married yet? Everybody got married. Why are you making of me a federal case? Are you with me here? Well, preacher, this is what only Job, you know. No, it wasn't. You want another example? I'll give it to you. Brother, can you put up there Jeremiah 20, verse 7? Watch this. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Let's read it. You push me into this, God, and I let you do it. You were too much for me. And now I'm a public joke. They all poke fun at me. Wow. Did you realize that the fire didn't fall from heaven, destroyed Jeremiah? Because God is looking for honesty, not pious cliche. Put it in the New Living Translation there, brother. Let me see. Watch this. Oh, Lord, you misled me. And I allow myself to be misled. You are stronger than I am. And you overpowered me. Now I am mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. Is that enough? Let me give you another example. Let's go to Psalms 83:13. These are examples of people who were honest with God. Am I right here? Give me the New Living Translation. 83:30. I mean the Backslider translation. My God, I've had it with them. Blow them away. Tumbleweeds in the desert waste. I guess I missed this one here. And I know you're going to forgive me for that, right? Yeah. Let's go to Ruth 1:20. And I'm coming to an end. And so, Naomi was back. And Ruth, the foreigner, with her. Back from the country of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Give me the next verse, please. So it happened that Naomi had a relative by marriage, a man prominent and rich, connected with Elimelech's family. His name was Boaz. Now that's chapter 2. One ten. That's what I said? Okay, do we have one? Do we have verse 22 over there? 122? Yeah, there you go. I knew I had it. Somewhere in there, we got it. But she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. The strong one has dealt me a bitter blow. This woman just spit out what was in her chest. And yet God showed her favor. Because God is not expecting you to be perfect. Reach to somebody and say, God is not expecting you to be perfect. He wants you to be honest. In wrapping, folks, many people in the Bible told God exactly how they felt, and God didn't kill them. Why? God didn't kill them for a very simple reason. Expressing doubt sometimes is the first step towards the next level of intimacy with God. Expressing your feelings may be the first step towards healing against those emotional problems that you may have. And I believe that God, in a very candid and honest way, gave you and I the books of Psalms. What does it got to do with being friends of God? It's a worship manual. On that book, you're going to find a lot of people with doubts, fears, resentment, full of ranting, raving, deep passions combined with thanksgiving, praises, statements of faith. Every possible emotion is cataloged in the book of Psalms. And when you read the emotional confession of David and others, I'm convinced that this is how God wants you and I to worship Him. Holding back nothing of what you feel. Say amen. And therefore, I think that sometimes we should pray like David prayed. How did he pray? Psalm 142, 2 and 3. You said you're finished. I am. This is my last line. Psalms 142, 2. Watch this. Message Bible 142, verse 2. I spill out. Okay, let's read it again. I spill out all my complaints before Him. Ouch. Verse 3. Watch this.
As I sink in despair, my spirit ebbing away, you know how I'm feeling, and know the danger I'm in.
I mean, sometimes you just have to spit it out. Don't keep it on your chest. God is your friend. Jesus said, I haven't called you servants. I called you friends. Amen. You know, it's encouraging to know that all God's closest friends, like Moses, Abraham, David, Job, and others, had bouts with doubt, insecurity. But instead of masking their misgivings with pious cliches, they candidly voiced them openly and publicly before their God. And God heard them. Why did God hear them? Proverbs 3:32, the scripture that I started with, explained to you why did God hurt them without beating them up. Stand on your feet. God heard to all those complaints for a very simple reason. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but the Lord offers his friendship to the godly. Reach out to somebody now and say, God wants to be your friend. He is offering his friendship to you right now. All he's asking in return, be honest. It's all what it takes. Father God, thank you very much for your word. Help us to take away the mask of piety, pretending that we are what we are not. And give us the boldness to be honest with you. Now knowing that you are not going to get mad at us. Set us free from pious cliches. And give us the desire to spend time and energy in developing our friendship with you. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.